Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to continue our series on the conversation we've been having about doing life together, growing together, as what's God's will for our lives. And so my intent has really been more of really having a discussion, talking together, less than, you know, preaching at you, but really just kind of have a biblical dialogue, you know, through God's word. And last Sunday, we talked about that scripture which says, a person's wisdom yields patience and it's one's glory to overlook an offense. And I think we had a great time with that talk and that message. So if you are not here, please know that that's up on the website for you to look at. So we have, what God is doing is helping us to understand the value of connecting, belonging to one another, and understanding that we're called to do life together, praying for each other, encouraging each other, supporting each other. And if you're not in a group, it's important that you participate and be part of someone else's life. Because life happens, challenges happen, there's a lot going on in our lives, and sometimes it's hard to keep ourselves connected with others. And many times we may be together, but yet not together. You could be in a church like here, together, but you're not together. You could be at home with your family, together, but not together. There's a need for us to understand that the enemy has really perfected his skill of creating isolation. And we can be together but not together, together but not connected, and there's a great sense of isolation. And how many of us throughout the week, maybe you're hit with something and you don't even know who you could call, or somebody that could pray with you, or somebody to encourage you. You know, that sense of feeling like you have someone in your corner. And thank God for those of you who have, you know, maybe great relationships or marriage, and you feel that. But how many know that there's more to be done, more to be accomplished, if we just understood what God is trying to do in our lives to give us that very sense of connection? Jesus, you know, one of the things, you know, when you think that somebody's, for instance, if somebody's on their deathbed, right, we put weight on what they say. Right? But remember, Jesus has this one chance to pray before he has to be tortured and crucified. And you know what he prays? His prayer is all listed in John 17. You know what the greatest theme in that chapter is? I pray that there may be one.
That's right.
Just as you and I are one. This was very dear and close to the heart of God himself. And so we need to make sure that we understand that. This need of dividing ourselves, isolating ourselves is not of God. It's a human nature that is birthed out of sin. And it's amazing to me that my son has no idea of what's happening, but sometimes he tries to divide me and his mom. My wife, he tries to play a little politics and kind of divide us, you know. Even this happened just this past Saturday, his mom says, I need you to come with me. We're going to do this. He doesn't want to go, so he comes to me, Dad, do I really have to go? Do I have to go with mom to do that? And I said, well, you need to go back and talk with your mom. Go have a conversation. What his intent is hoping that I would say, no, you don't have to go. Then he can go back and say, Daddy says I don't have to. You see, that's the human nature to divide, you know. And we have to protect families if we can have that sense of unity. But Jesus, I really pray for that. So today's scripture, ladies and gentlemen, is going to come from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. It says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Now think about that. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Make every effort. We see what God is telling us here. But why is he telling us that? We see he's telling us in his word to make every effort to keep ourselves united in the spirit. But why is he telling us? Now, I could come here and I give you all the theological hermeneutics explanation of why God intended that best, you know, and on the synoptics of the gospel and just talk all this kind of stuff and like, okay, what's the point of all that? But why does God really tell us to keep ourselves united together? Simply because he cares about you. Amen. And he cares about me. He cares about us. His care for you and I is that what drives him to tell us to make every effort to keep ourselves united in the spirit. He says, I care about you. And I care about you because I want to be able to bless you and be involved in your life. And the only way for me to be involved in your life is if you're connected together. And so God says, make every effort to keep yourself united together. And sometimes when God says make every effort, it's because sometimes it's just going to be hard. Sometimes you're not going to feel it. Sometimes you're going to have an exhausting week. And God says, I want you to make every effort to keep yourselves together. You see, this is what the Bible calls us to do. This is the New Testament. This is Scripture. Why? Because when we're connected together in the unity of the Spirit, that's when we are the most healthiest as the body of Christ. This is what the Bible says in Ephesians 4:16. It says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. Now think about knit together. What does that mean? Right? It means connected, knit together. Then it says, but what every joint does what? Supplies. That means you have some to supply. Everybody got some to supply. According to the Bible, it says every joint supply, not a few supplying. Because the motto of our churches today, there's a few that are gifted and called and anointed. So you show up to church, the few do the singing, they do the leading, they do the preaching, they do the praying, and the majority of you come sit in the pew, in rows, give your money, have your kids taken care of, get back into your car and go start your week. And do it all over again. Why? Because I'm supposed to come to church and consume. I'm supposed to come and be entertained and put up your show for me, preach a good message, let me give some money, let me get in my car, have some ushers open the door for me to get out, and there goes start all over again. But the New Testament, biblical theology, the Bible says every joint. That means it doesn't matter how long you've been saved, God will summon you. It doesn't matter what level of education you have, God has put something in you. It doesn't matter where you come from, God has called you and he has put something in you. And he says every joint, you're part of the body, every joint supplies. Everybody gives to somebody. According to the effective working by which every part does its share. What if church shifted? What if we as a body of Christ shifted back to that where we came to church and it wasn't just about one person, it wasn't about the church staff, it wasn't about the team up there, but it was about every part doing its share. It was about everyone blessing somebody, encouraging somebody, ministering to somebody, praying for somebody, helping somebody. Every part does a share, causing the growth of the body for edifying itself in love. That is what the New Testament church was like. This is, if you had an opportunity to be transported back to the first century, and be part of the church then, this is exactly what you would have said. So that means that God wants to use you.
Amen.
God wants to work through you. And if God worked through you, if we believe this and realize, okay, we're not just supposed to be this religious organization. We're supposed to be this functional body of Christ. Now, I've been part of the religious organization, but I'm shifting from that. I'm done being a religious organization. I want us to be a functional body of Christ, where we're not trying to make people have a label of Christians, but we actually have people that know that they're the disciples of Jesus. Because we ain't called to just make people who have label of Christians, but we're called to have people that are disciples. People that take God's word and apply it in their lives and minister to one another and supply to the needs of each other. Because when you understand you're a disciple and God wants to use your life, that means you're not going to wait till Sunday to open your Bible. You're not going to count yourself out of prayer. Because some of you feel like prayer is for some, but not for me. If you understand your disciple, you'll be like, I'm part of that. I'm part of prayer. I got to pray too. And you see, some of you don't say it, but in your mind, you're like, no, prayer is for those people. It's for those people. So every time they say prayer, you're like, not me. Not me. It's for those people. Okay, pray. No, not for me. It's for those people. They're spiritual enough. I'm not spiritual enough. If you knew how messed up I am, I can't be part of prayer. No, what a lie.
That's right.
We have to understand, we're not trying to make a bunch of people Christians. We're trying to make disciples of Jesus. People that will understand that I have a part to play. All right? God has something to work through me. God has a work in my life that I have to do. And that's what he has called us to. Every part. Every part. Every part does its share. You know what blessed me so much? Something happened last Sunday. I found out this week on Friday. I was speaking with some people. And one of the people I was speaking to said, you know, what I took away last Sunday that really has helped me this week is I'm no longer letting things build up in me. I used to not want to be confrontational. And when I'll get offended, I will just let everything just build inside of me. But last Sunday, it was said that when I let offense come in, the root of bitterness will begin to develop in me. The root of bitterness is going to develop in me, and then I'm going to be deceived, and I don't want that. And you know what blessed me so much was because someone has decided to change. Sorry about this.
Change microphones.
Okay, thanks. What blessed me so much was someone came to church, got something, and the trajectory of their life has changed. They're taking a different direction how they've been doing life. Okay? They're now saying, I'm not going to build offenses anymore. I'm going to express myself when I'm offended. But that revelation did not come from me. It came from Gwen was sitting right there. And as we were having, she said, don't let, you know, when you let offenses come, you know, the root of bitterness is going to develop and you're going to be deceived. And somebody else needed to hear that. That is what the Bible says, every joint supply. You never know. We need to stop thinking that what everybody needs has to come from up here. We need to stop thinking what everybody needs has to come from the pastor or the one who's teaching. Sometimes what everybody needs is around there. And God wants to say, I want to distribute this in the body so that the body is building one another, encouraging one another, ministering to one another. You never know that the one word you say in 2 minutes is what somebody needs for that week. And that's why we're building our structure in this church to allow that, to
to allow the ministry of one another, to allow the praying for one another, to allow the encouragement of one another, that you understand that when you walk into this door, you're not coming here to consume and be taken care of, but you're coming here with an attitude saying, God, I'm stepping in, I'm available, use me today, whichever way you want. Amen. Right? And if God puts some on your heart, don't just hold back, because you may be denying someone what they need to hear, right? Okay, now let's go back. It says, make every effort to keep yourself. Now think about it. Now notice, he didn't say make effort. How many know if God just said make effort would be good enough? But he said, make every effort. Now think about that. He says, make every effort. Now, I don't know. I don't know what you see with all this. This is quite deep. You know, in order for that to happen, ladies and gentlemen, to make every effort to keep yourself united in the spirit, he's like, exhaust every option. Make every effort. In other words, you know, maybe you're not feeling 100%. And God says, I know you're not feeling 100%, but I know you have a report that is due tomorrow. But what? I know you're tired. You had a bad day, but effort to do what? To keep yourself united. That is God's will. That's God's purpose. You know, you may be like, yeah, you have to fly out tomorrow morning. God says, I know, but do what? Make every effort. This is God's will. This is God's ways. This is what God is calling us to do. That, you see, in life generally, when God says make every effort, we make effort for what we deem important and urgent. Right? Whatever you think is very important and urgent, you always make effort for it. What are the examples in your life that is important and urgent?
Work. We make our effort to get to work.
Because work is important. So you make every effort to do what?
I might hit snooze 5 times, but I'm going to get to it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because it's important and urgent. So you make every effort, even if you don't feel like it, right? Okay, what else?
Marriage.
Marriage. You see it's important, so you make effort to make it work. Okay, good. And anybody else?
Friendships.
Friendships.
People feel like family and friends, not just family, but friendships, even unhealthy ones, are urgent and important.
Yeah.
And then they put all the effort into it.
Some friendships, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exercise.
How many would like? How many would like exercise to be important, urgent? Right. But whatever we find that is important and urgent, we'll make every effort for it. Right. So, what if something is important but not urgent? We
put it off to the side a little
bit.
Okay, we put it off. We procrastinate. It's important, but it's not
urgent. It's there, but you're not addressing it.
Right. So you procrastinate it and push it off. Right. What about something that is not important but urgent?
We rush to get it done.
No.
But it's not important.
Procrastinate. Oh, but it's,
well,
see, I don't know, it's hard.
So it's not important, but urgent.
But what's not important, but urgent?
Like taxes.
Very good. Yeah, right? So now you see that? How about oil change of your car?
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
You know, it's, maybe, you know, some things are not important, but maybe urgent, right? Like, how about watching a movie that just came out?
That might be urgent.
It's not important, but it may be
urgent
because it just came out. Do you see what I'm saying? How about what we do? What about things that are not important and not urgent?
We don't do it at all.
We don't care, right? Like, yeah, it's not important, it's not urgent, so it doesn't really. Right? Are you tracking with me? But then, if something is important and urgent, we do what?
We address it.
We make every effort.
Yeah.
So when God says, make every effort, then what is God telling us? He's telling us this unity of spirit is important and urgent. Right? So then he says, make every effort. Because in God's eyes, he says, this is important. So when I begin, the reason why we've struggled maybe to connect and really put focus in that is because we hadn't seen how important and urgent this is. But God has, and God has seen that. Now, when he says here, make every effort to keep yourself, not others, but yourselves. What he's got to say is that make effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit. Why is that? Because it's not about what others want from you. But it's about what God wants for you. Okay? When God says make every effort to keep yourself united, it's because it's what he wants for you. It's not about what others want from you. Because when I think it's about what others want from me, I mean, we all don't want to be drained and depleted. So guess what? Excuses. I put low on priority because, you know, being drained by others, you know, people can, you know what I'm saying? You feel like, you know what? I have to listen to this. I have to put up with this. I have to talk with that. I have to connect with so-and-so. I have to check in. I have to do all that to connect. You know what? No one from me. So I'm not doing it. I have excuses why I'm not going to be part of connecting. I'm not going to make every effort. I will not make every effort because in my mind, making that effort to keep united, I see those people are trying to get from me.
Or we're so exhausted, we're too depleted. Like, man, with them, I need time for me. Right?
Yeah.
And we don't reach out.
And what God says, it ain't about what people are trying to get from you. It's about what I, your God, want for you. Because God says, I'm all about you connecting in the groups of three or five and just building each other, praying so I can work through you, so I can minister and build and encourage and raise you up and give you the opportunity to experience my gifts in your life and discover who you are in me. And all this happened when we begin to minister to one another and say, God says, I want to do more. It's about what I want for you. Let's quit thinking that this is about what people want from me, because the more I think about connecting with my brothers, if some one thing I have to do, they're drawing from me, then the more I'm not excited to connect because I feel like I'm going to be drawn out again. But God says, I want some vessels, I want some instruments, I want people to talk through, I want hands to work through, I want voices to speak through. This is what God is about. He's in the business of reaching us, and because he cares about us, he wants to touch each of us specifically, and guess what? He wants to use each of us. So that's why he says that. Now, man, isn't that awesome? That's what God is calling us as a church and a body to be thinking about this effort. Now before we go to that verse here, you know, I know a lot of you in your groups are making effort. You know, I know that Dion's group, you know, they meet and they pray every Wednesday before the 7 o'clock church prayer meeting, and it blesses me to know that they can be off on their group prayer and then connect in a group prayer. I'm like, they're making effort.
Yes.
You know, it's because the natural mindset will be like, you know what, I'm done with that. But they're making effort to stay united in the spirit, you know, and that's what God is calling us to do. I know most of you doing whatever you can do to stay connected, but let's remember that this is what God wants for us, and God's will is what we're all about. We want to do the will of God for our lives. And even for my group, I'm telling you, I'm just speaking for my group, and you all can speak for your group when you get a microphone. But for my group, I want to say something. You know, I've been so blessed because just this past, we do Thursdays at 8:30 on Thursdays. This past Thursday, Pete had been very, very tired and woke up very early in the morning, had a long day, 6 o'clock, he fell into a nap, and somehow he just jumped out of his nap at 8:15 and like, I gotta be with my brothers, you know? Which I think the natural thing would have been, I'm gonna sleep, I've been tired, they can do it without me. But he made effort. Troy was coming back from a meeting somewhere. He wasn't even home. He's like, I gotta be right. He got into his car. He called, like, I gotta connect with my brothers as he drove, making every effort. Otherwise, he's like, you know, I'm not doing it. I'm late. They can do without me. But these simple steps with Ted to connect with each other, simple as it may seem, is what blesses God.
Yes.
He said, you're doing what I'm asking you to do. You're making effort. Regardless of what's happening in your life, you're making effort. And I'm telling you, we spend 30 minutes every week to just talk and pray and encourage one another. But I feel a certain level of closeness with Pete and Garen and Derek and Troy in my group that I would not have felt if we didn't have the 30 minutes of just talking and praying with each other. Something is happening. Right? So this concept of being together is what God is calling us to say. It's not going to be easy, but he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Now, here's a scripture that I want us to think about. Romans 12, verse 10. Look at that. It says, be what?
Devoted.
Be devoted to one another. Now, we all know, be devoted to prayer, yes. Be devoted to God, yes. Be devoted to reading your Bible, yes. Be devoted to going to fellowship, yes, yes, yes. Be devoted to church, yes. But in addition to that, he says to what? God, why do you have to put that in?
Right?
Come on. Now think about the gravity of that line. Think about the gravity of that statement. Be devoted to one another. This is an instruction. This is a command. This is God's. If Jesus was here in person, and he's dropped in here in his person, flesh, can, and showed up, he would say, hey guys, be devoted to one another, and he goes back to heaven. Exactly, it's the same thing as in the Bible. He says, be devoted to one another in love. Now, one another sometimes is messy, right? We talked about, you know, how to get over fences. And I know the dynamics sometimes are there, but listen to me, the risks are there where you may be offended, but the value that it brings outweighs any risk you may have, any reservations you may have, any fears you may have. The blessing, the benefit of what God will do far outweighs any fears you might have. He says, be devoted to one another. Now, what does that mean? What do we talk about that? Rick, if you don't mind, pass some microphones around. I'm going to open it up right now. And let me hear from you, ladies and gentlemen. What? Let's talk about that.